Let's please turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And last week we covered more verses on the second coming. We kind of, we could spend several Sundays all the verses about the second coming. We just took a few. And how Jesus defeats the armies of the Antichrist that are coming to, basically what Jesus says, they would have wiped out all human life. All human life would have been gone had Jesus not come back when he comes back at the end of the tribulation, which is pretty amazing to think of the planet. People worry about the planet being exterminated because of various different things. And what is truly the source of the progression of the planet destroying itself and exterminating human beings? According to the Bible, it's mankind's sin. It's the sin of man that has corrupted this world. Well, it's going to be fixed when Jesus comes back. And what it'll be like in the millennium, people will be living a long time and there won't be any death associated with animals or anything else. And except for sin, there will be some death and sin we covered last week. And so this week we're going to, review those closing verses that we covered last week and then get into the great white throne judgment and possibly into the new heaven and new earth of the first few verses of chapter 21. But chapter 20, verse 4. We did 4 through 10 last week. We conclude with that. We're going to just quickly see that as a segue into today's study. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. This is Jesus' return, and he is putting people to be in charge. The church lives and reigns with him. And so there's thrones set up, and the people that are populated on the world are going to be ruled over. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God. During the tribulation period, people are going to be killed. And who had not worshipped the beast, the Antichrist, or his image, they refused to bow to the government authorities of the Antichrist, saying you had to worship him or die, and had not received his mark in their foreheads or their hands. They didn't take his name in their hands or forehead, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. I know this might be confusing for those that are just joining us, but Jesus returns, and the people that died during the tribulation, their souls went to go be with God, we see in earlier scriptures, but now their bodies, now they resurrect along with the church that was resurrected years earlier, and everybody's now resurrected that loves God, and they are going to be reigning with Christ during the tribulation period. The ones that were part of the church. And blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. So everybody in times past who has loved Jesus is now alive in a glorified body, never to sin again, never to be tempted again, forever destined to go to heaven. But when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan, who was locked up for 1,000 years of people living on earth that lived through the tribulation period, were allowed to live through the tribulation period and be part of the kingdom to be ruled over. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are on the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints, the beloved city, millennial Jerusalem, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who had deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever. And we emphasize that during the 1,000 years, people are living on earth with King Jesus in Jerusalem, and not getting away with stuff, and then Satan is loosed, and he deceives these people and their children. People live into the millennial reign. They live through the tribulation, and then the sheep, the people that were determined in Matthew chapter 25 to be sheep are allowed to live into the millennial reign. They have children, children's children, and some of those are deceived by Satan to rebel against God, trying to take them out in Jerusalem, and God then judges them. They die. And the devil is then thrown forever into the pit of hell. So the 1,000-year millennial reign is over. And then the great white throne judgment, chapter 20, verse 11, which I was hoping to get through last week, but didn't have time. Then I saw the great white throne and him who sat on it. from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. Now the dead here, the only people left dead are all the unbelievers that have ever lived. So in other words, everybody that has believed in Jesus through all of history has already been resurrected and they're with God. And all that's left is every unbeliever since Cain of the Old Testament who has been waiting in Hades for the great white throne judgment. So all of unbelievers are then brought up before God in the great white throne judgment that we're reading about here today. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 3. Let this sink in, that there's books, there's a pile of books. The book of the works of every human being that has rejected Jesus and wants to, you know, didn't want to believe in Jesus to save them from their sins, to cause those books to be thrown away. See what the day, you know, in 1974, May of 74, when I bowed the knee to Jesus, what happened is the books of works that were going to judge me on judgment day were thrown into the fire. And they're gone. And forever gone. Every sin I've ever committed against God was thrown away. Because I said, I don't want to be judged by that. I know I'm a sinner and I deserve hell for that. And you're willing to forgive me for what I've done, and you're willing to continue to forgive me because I'm going to still sin in my rebellion because I want to be fixed, but I'm not fixed. And it's still wanting God to fix me even more. Aren't you all wanting God to fix you more? But isn't it nice that God continues to forgive us? So then the judgment I deserved is on Jesus. And because I took Jesus, I'm now resurrected in a glorified body with him. But everybody says, take your Jesus and get out of here, you know, take a hike. All those are basically saying, I want to be judged by my works. And so this is where they get what they want. And now all the books are there. Some are thick and some are thin. It doesn't matter because the result is the same. Everybody wanting to be judged for their works is going to the same place, the lake of fire. You have to be saved by grace through faith in Jesus alone. Or you're going to be lost forever. And whether, you know, I'm assuming most of you have been saved by grace. And so I say you, I'm talking to you if you haven't received Jesus. That is the truth. This is what is really going to happen. Let it sink in that you're going to stand before God if you don't believe in Jesus. And he's going to go, oh, book of life. Huh, I don't see your name. I don't see the day that you bowed the knee to Jesus and said, God, forgive me a sinner and I want to serve you no matter what the world thinks. No matter what anybody thinks, I want to be saved. And so then they're gonna flip. No, not there. Okay. His book is still here. His book of works. And then just think about it. I'd like everybody right now to think of the worst thing you've done and maybe the 10 worst things you've done. And let it be the first time as you cursed Jesus' name. Used it in vain. You know, used God's name in vain. Worshipped idols. Felt murderous towards somebody, actually did murder somebody, or stole from somebody, or anything else. See, people don't realize that everything about our fallen culture doesn't want us to think about the consequences of sin. But you know what the consequences of sin are? This, the great white throne judgment. It's standing before God, answering for all those things, if we haven't said, God, forgive me, and in exchange, I'm going to give you my life. So, I hope everybody's name is written in the book of life, and God's not going to be pulling your file. I would imagine everybody's file, you would admit, is corrupted, has something wrong. So, when it says, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, who's him? So turn to Matthew 12:35. Who's him and what's he going to be judging on? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified and by your words you'll be condemned. So in context, what God is saying is, here's the good treasure. What came out of your mouth? What came out of your mouth in your life? You know, what comes out of your mouth today? From the heart, you're singing worship songs to Jesus. From your heart, you're saying, yes, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I'm basking in His forgiveness and His love for me, etc., etc. Then that is the good things. Really think about how sinful we are. Think about the people that reject Jesus. They want to take a shot with saying that they're good people. When just think about how we really are, if we're honest with our predicament. And so what Jesus is saying, you're going to be judged by the words that came out of your mouth. You know what came out of my mouth before I knew Jesus? Vile and foul things towards God and man. And every one of those is being recorded. Oh, you rejected Jesus, told that Christian to take a hike. Argued with those Christians in Chicago and told them how lame they were, and then stood up in a Bible study in Chicago, down on the streets of Chicago, and told that, stopped the preacher from preaching to give him a bunch of grief because he wouldn't take a guy to go get a hamburger when he stood up. The bum in Chicago said, all I want is a hamburger. Sit down, we'll finish the study and deal with you. Yeah, you guys are just corrupt, and I'm going to be self-righteous. I mean, stuff like that. All that stuff, mockery. So all that stuff, what's your mouth like? Did your mouth ever say, Jesus, forgive me for all the times I've mocked your name. Forgive me for the times I've used it in vain. Forgive me for the times I've used it to be hateful towards people and do things that are vile and abomination to you. So you say that, then you've done good. You've been a good man or a good woman, because Jesus is saying a good man, a good woman is determined by what comes out of your mouth. Can people accuse you of in your mouth saying, I love the biblical Jesus? Hope so. John chapter 5, verse 21. And I think I'm right on this one. John 5, 21. It was actually, as you're turning there, it was actually this verse, another one in Ephesians, that of not letting corrupt communication come out of your mouth, that I got in trouble for in diving school, because they wanted to have us sing songs of chasing women, drinking beer and everything in diving school. No, I'm not going to do it. I don't want corrupt communication coming out of my mouth. It still does at times. You can get upset and stuff that are still sinful, but I love the grace and mercy of God. But see, we should be convicted more and more every year that goes by. What is coming out of my mouth? Because God wants me to walk in His newness. John chapter 5, verse 21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son, this is Jesus speaking, gives life to whom He will. So this is, Revelation 20:11 was Him who sat on the throne. Who is it? Jesus. We're going to find out it's Jesus that's doing the judgment on the great white throne. For the Father gives life to whom He will. So Jesus is able to give life to people. That makes Him deity, doesn't it? For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, deity. That all should honor the Son, deity. The Bible doesn't say Jesus is God. All these things are claims of Jesus being God. I'm the one that judges. I'm the one that God, you should honor me as well as the Father, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. We don't go to the great white throne judgment. Our judgment was put on Jesus on the cross when He suffered and was separated from the Father and cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because He took our separation from the Father. It's all put on Him, so I don't have to be judged. You don't have to be judged if you're in Jesus, the biblical Jesus. Has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. You were born again. The day that you got saved, you were born again into a spiritual life relationship with God that will never change. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming now, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in Himself, So he has granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him, Jesus, authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Turn to John 12:44. Who's on the throne at the great white throne? Jesus. You know, when we do the topical study dealing with Old Testament God, New Testament God, I'll probably repeat this, sorry, that, I like Jesus because he's just comfy feeling and just feels, all he did is just come here and heal the sick, and that's what we should do and stuff. But no, he's going to judge those that rejected him. He is all those things, but he's also judge. They think Old Testament God is mean and judgeful, judging. And Jesus is also going to judge. John 12:44. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me, sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world." Okay, so he's claiming to be deity there. I've come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. So again, it's blasphemy for a Jew to say that you have to believe in him in order to be saved and right with God as deity. "And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him now." He didn't come for the first coming to judge now. He's saving it for the great white throne that we're reading today. "For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." I'm not coming here to judge everybody right now. I'm coming to go to the cross. In our study in Luke, Jesus at one time, he said, I wish I was here to burn up. I want to deal with the great white throne judgment now. But actually, before I do that, I have to be baptized with the baptism God has sent me for, which is to die on the cross for sins of people. He was looking forward to the day that all of this gets wrapped up, everything is dealt with, and we're in heaven with Jesus forever. He's looking forward to that day, and he had to go to the cross first. He came to save us. "I do not come to judge him now, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me," the biblical Jesus, "and does not receive my words, has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." So when the books of the works of all the unbelieving are brought up, there's probably going to be a section, "Words out of your mouth and rejection of Jesus." And the rejection of what Jesus said. I've been in debates recently with people that they reject this stuff of like Jesus saying, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through him." Well, that's what Jesus said. People that reject that say, no, I don't agree with that. Well, okay. Then Jesus is saying, there's going to be something that judges you on Judgment Day. Everything people ever said in rejection of Jesus. That's why I get grieved when I have, through the 47 years of being a Christian, grieved when I think of all the times people said, "Kevin, just stop it. I don't want to hear another word. I don't agree with what the Bible says or what you're telling me the Bible says." I agree because I know what their destiny is. It's right here. They'll be judged for everything that they rejected. "For I have not spoken in my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me the command that I should say what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." God's the Father and, Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit all conspired in the beginning, before the foundation of the world, when we know man is going to fall, we're going to go save him. And this is the plan. And the Father says, "Okay, tell him, this is what it takes to be saved. And go and die on the cross for their sins and for the few people, relatively, who are actually going to humble themselves to believe it. We give them everlasting life forever." Wow. What a loving God. Revelation 20, verse 12. And again, how can we not grieve? Because what's at stake is eternity. One eternity is you're with the God who created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. And the other eternity is to be with the first rebel, Satan, in a place called hell forever and ever, separated from the God of love. Chapter 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works, because they weren't in the book of life. Because the only reason they're here at this judgment is because they didn't believe in Jesus, because everybody who believed in Jesus is already resurrected. Well, Kevin, you know, the Old Testament saints didn't believe in Jesus. Well, they believed in the sacrificial blood of something innocent having to die to wash away their sins. They didn't think that they were self-righteously going to be able to get into heaven for the honest, true saints of the Old Testament. And so God's plan has been the same since Adam and Eve, when God sacrificed the first animal that exchanged the fig leaves of Adam and Eve with skins. That animal that provided the skin was the first shed blood, innocent animal to cover man's sin. And it has been the covering of sins through the animal, something innocent dying and blemishless dying, that has caused everybody who puts their faith in God into a salvation relationship with him throughout all of history. Even David said, I know that it's not really bulls and goats that you want, but a broken and contrite heart that cries out to you, God, forgive me a sinner. And see, that's what really God is looking for. Even a pygmy in Africa, an aborigine, they know, because of the Bible says so, the Holy Spirit is convicting them of sin. When they go rip off somebody or murder somebody or whatever else they do, there's the Holy Spirit's going, you just sinned against God. Wow, what have I done? I'll make an idol and worship it. I'll do something else. I'll go whatever. I'll go seek the witch doctor. But some people go, no. Idols don't do anything. Witch doctors don't do anything. God, whoever you are, forgive me a sinner. Because everybody has that conviction that they could humble themselves and cry out to God for forgiveness. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Juanita hears me all the time say, what can wash away my sins? I'll say that on Sunday morning another time. I go, well, you know the answer? Yeah, Kevin, I know the answer. What can wash away that simple song? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. And everybody that's standing, all that death and Hades and everything else, they just couldn't sing. They couldn't sing that little simple song. God's word said, the wages, what you get for your sin, the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death. And then everybody here at this judgment, they say, I want the next part of that verse. But the gift of God is eternal life. We do get a paycheck. If we reject Jesus, you get a paycheck. It's death. You can also take a gift. You can take a gift from God, eternal life, through faith in Jesus. And they were judged, each one according to his works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the end of all suffering and death for the whole planet. We're now, headed to eternal life. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 57. We covered this verse on Wednesday. The saved got what they wanted, eternal life. The unsaved got what they wanted, being judged according to their works, pridefully thinking themselves deserving of everlasting life and finding out, wow. And when the rap sheet is being read off, I would imagine people are going, okay, enough. I get the point. I'm a sinner, and I don't deserve to go to heaven because I rejected your son, Jesus. Luke chapter 12, verse 57. Yes. And why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right? When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge. The judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you shall not depart from there till you have paid the very last mite. Jesus was probably talking practically in life, but he was also, in the context of the surrounding verses, he's talking about who's the judge? You know, the judge is God. And when you're in a dispute, I was in a dispute with God. You know, he was God and I was thinking I should be God. We had a dispute. God knew he was right, I was wrong. And it took me a while to figure that out. So I'm in the dispute. Don't tell me what to do. I don't like your laws. I don't like your people. I don't like your Bible. I don't like this. I don't like that. So I'm in a dispute with God. And what the Bible is here, what Jesus was saying here, you better make it right. You better talk to that person you're in dispute with, and maybe you'll figure out you're wrong. And then you don't have to go to the judge and have the judge tell you you're wrong. A good piece of advice, wouldn't you say? You know, Proverbs 17, 14 to 15, 16 says the same thing. And what he says in verse 16 of Proverbs 17, it says, "Why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom, since he has no heart for it?" Think about that. I'm going through Proverbs. I read Proverbs this week, so I'm kind of Proverbs too. It's the purchase. Jesus shed his blood for how many people? All. For everybody. And so what a tragedy that everybody has the right to everlasting life. But the fool is defined as the one who rejects the wisdom of God. What is the wisdom of God? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom of God. And the fear of the Lord is to realize judgment day is coming and be right with that by trusting in Jesus as your Savior. So why did God do that? Because of his love. Why did God make it available for everybody when the fool, and most people are fools in rejection of Jesus, when the fool has no heart for it? 2 Peter 3:9, we know he's made it for everybody because 2 Peter 3:9 says, "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You know how many people God wants to, would love for them to repent today? Everybody. Everybody that's lost, God wishes they would just humble themselves and repent and become a believer in true Jesus. So the next two chapters, 21, 22, end the Bible. And before we do that, I did want to do just a little review, and now we can't throw the timeline up there. And some of it, we passed out to everybody last week, some of it got it today. But in going through the timeline as a little review, I turn to Daniel chapter 12, verse 8, because last week I was supposed to give you this piece of info. It was even in your notes, and I skipped over it, and it's going to play into the timeline. But so this is the timeline. Hopefully you can see it on the screen there. And this is a review. And by the way, when we started almost a year ago with the study through Revelation, I challenged everybody, read the book of Revelation this week. Just read the whole thing. And then if you're like me, for years and years of my life, it's like, okay, I know some of this. I don't understand. You know, I don't understand. The first time you read it, it's like, wow, I don't understand a thing that's being said here. But the more you go through the whole Bible and everything else, and listen to teachers, some of it comes alive. So I said, read it, and wherever you're at now, hopefully my goal is that when you get to the end, when we get done to the end, read it again. So this week, read it again. And then we're going to hopefully finish next week. Read it again, and just rejoice that the Holy Spirit has allowed you to just say, oh, I understand, because you know why? It says, this is the only book of the Bible that gets a blessing by reading it. Just by reading it and doing what it says. And so God wants us to know this book. So just as a quick review, we're in the church age right now. The church dispensation, been 2,000 years long. But someday God is going to call the church home. And that's the beginning of the first resurrection. It's going to be part one of the first resurrection. So I'm going up at first. Let's look at the believers. Everybody who has died during the church age is going to be bodily removed from earth or taken to heaven. The dead will rise first, and then we who are alive will be caught up together to be with them meet the Lord in the air and to forever be with the Lord. We're going to get glorified bodies, never be separated from God ever again. And then the Bible says in Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians 5, Revelation 19, that there's a bema seat and marriage supper. The bema seat is a judgment, not a judgment like you're going to get punished, but a reward. All of you who lead somebody to Jesus, it says in Daniel, some people are going to lead people to God, and they're going to be like, the lights, and more. The more people that you're serving Jesus with, you're going to be shining even better. There's going to be different rewards in heaven according to the Word of God. I didn't throw the Daniel in there, but it's there. So we go through that Bema Seat judgment, and then we're with Jesus at the marriage supper, and then he says, okay, the tribulation, the 7-year tribulation period is over, and then we mount up on horses, follow Jesus, and as he physically returns to earth to put an end to the Antichrist and his armies, throw the Antichrist and the false prophet into the lake of fire, and that's where the little line going to the lake of fire. Gene Albright helped me do this. And just that, isn't that a great lake of fire? I hope just that scares anybody here. Piece of no royalty clip art. And so at the end of the tribulation, but see, when Jesus comes and he destroys the Antichrist armies, he destroys the Antichrist, he destroys the false prophet. Everybody that took the mark of the beast in their hand or their forehead are killed. But then there's going to be some people that are still alive that didn't take the mark. And according to Matthew chapter 25 and Joel, below the tribulation period, everyone who survives the tribulation, Matthew 24, 31, 25, 31 to 46, and Joel 3, 1 through 2, all of them are going to go to the sheep goat judgment of Matthew 25. And what God does is he separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep get to live into the millennial reign. See the line that goes up to the millennial kingdom. They're the sheep. They're human beings still in sinful flesh bodies that we have. But they're going to get into the millennial reign as sheep. The goats go to the lake of fire. And I have in your notes there 45 days. That process takes 45 days of gathering every survivor and then having Jesus judge them at the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and that's what Daniel 12:8. So let's go there. Daniel 12:8. We started to cover this, and then I skipped these 3-4 verses. Although I heard, I did not understand, then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many will be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked will do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And then I did that last week, and then I forgot verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, the Antichrist, midway through the tribulation period, he goes in, he defiles the Jewish temple, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He stops the Jews from doing animal sacrifices again in the third temple that's not yet built. And he defiles the temple and commits Daniel's abomination of desolation, Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel 12. And the day he does that, from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days till Jesus comes. So, is the second coming of Jesus like a thief in the night? No. The people that are living on earth and read their Bibles will know the exact day Jesus is going to come back. It's going to be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days, which is 45 days later. The conjecture is, so Jesus comes back. Blessed is he who survives another 45 days. Well, what happens? Jesus is done with the sheep goat judgment. Said, come, blessed is my Father, into a kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. And the goats, it says, blessed are those who do survive. Cursed are the ones who don't survive. And 2 weeks ago, we covered the sheep goat judgment. So then, going back to your table, which, by the way, this is going to be at our website. We've made 3 timelines during our Revelation study. The other 2 and this one will be posted on our website under this study of June 6, 2021, Revelation 20 into 21, if we get that far, unlikely. So the goats go to the lake of fire, the sheep go into the millennial reign, and then you're in the millennial reign dispensation. Jesus is in charge. People are living without being able to get away with sin because we're living and reigning with Jesus, and they're living in a perfectly cleaned up world. And I even said he's going to clean up Chernobyl and Having come from the nuclear industry, people don't appreciate just how long this stuff really does stick around and pollutes this world. He's going to just clean everything up, all the chemicals, all the radioactivity, all the corruption that men have done to corrupt the world is all going to be cleaned up. And then the great white throne judgment happens at the end of the millennium. First, Satan deceives most people. The people he deceives goes to the lake of fire. Then Satan goes to the lake of fire. All the unbelievers that were deceived in the millennial kingdom, along with all believers times past, go to the great white throne judgment. But as soon as they go to the white throne judgment, they get to hear the sentence passed on them, and they head to the lake of fire. And now what we're entering into is the eternal state of the new heaven and earth, the final dispensation of God, where there will never, ever, ever be anything evil, wicked, ever again. And the reason why you can get there is because you're washed in the blood of Jesus, you're forgiven, your heart was towards God at a time where it was tough to do so. Why does God allow persecution in the world? For us to decide what we want. You know, if you're going to worship Jesus when they want to lop your head off, or otherwise persecute you, how easy is it going to be when we get a new body, and there's none of those people want to lop your head off? We're going to, forever with our own will, we're going to be worshiping this Jesus forever and ever and ever. Because he isn't promising us the streets of gold and, you know, the waters of life flowing freely from the temple of the New Jerusalem and the tree of life on each side of the river for the healing of the nations. He's not promising us all that, and then we're going to get up there and, oh man, I didn't know that there was going to be all this corruption and you know, bad things here. He's going to keep his promises to us. Let's just read the first 8 verses. And we'll expound on them next week. Chapter 21, verse 1, to just get a glimpse of heaven. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. The world's going to be totally different. It's not going to be a Mediterranean Sea. Implied here, it's not a Mediterranean Sea, a Dead Sea. Maybe even seas, you know, Pacific, Atlantic, whatever, there's got to be. But we know there's going to be a river of life flowing from the temple with trees on both sides. The tree of life is going to be restored for the first time since Genesis chapter 3. We're going to have access to the tree of life like Adam and Eve. There was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. God is going to tabernacle with us. He's going to be with us. You know, like Dustin was saying during communion and how that verse in Hebrews is so important. You know, the fact that we gather together, especially as we see the day approaching. Why? We want to gather together with like-minded people because we just love talking about our eternity and about the Lord who made it possible for us to get there. Imagine what it's going to be like to tabernacle with God forever. Never, and you're never leaving fellowship. You're never leaving church. You're going to be with this God who loves us. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And this is so important. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. The former things were men and women being on earth as corrupted human beings, bringing pain upon themselves and bringing pain on others as a result of sin, and other people causing pain on them because of their sin. A sinful world is gone. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the Greek alphabet, first letter of the alphabet, last letter. I'm the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Now, final appeal to anybody. I know we're going to expound on these a little bit next week, but final appeal. Do you thirst for this world being, this messed up world being out of your life? Do you thirst for God, please stop this? You know, as God said, blessed are they who hunger, they'll be filled. Blessed are those who weep because they'll be comforted. God's people weep over what's going on in this world. We hunger and thirst for the day that God's in control, and it's going to happen. He is going to give us the water, the fountain of water freely. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And, you know, I'm going to emphasize next week that the cowardly, really, what are the cowardly? Everybody that rejects Jesus. Even in the days of, I'll cover the verse in Matthew. It said, many of the people believed in Jesus. They believed him, but they wouldn't let their mouth say so because they feared man more than God. They didn't want to get kicked out of the synagogue. It's becoming for the, you know, America, it has never really been a problem to say, I love the Jesus of the Bible and he's my Lord and Savior. You know, you can get away with that. Until recently, it's starting to get perilous. And you have to be a coward not to want to confess Jesus as your Savior. And you know what? If you're a coward, if you can't confess him before man, then what does Jesus say? I won't confess you before my Father. So everybody that goes to hell, goes to the lake of fire, does so because they love their own lives and their cowardice, and they don't respect what Jesus came to do for us. They love being abominable and unbelieving. And by the way, abominable is anybody who does anything wicked. So how many of you are abominable? How many of you, I should say, were abominable? You were abominable, but the abominable snowman, you know, the abominable put on something else. What do we put on? We put on Jesus Christ. We put on his righteousness. So the Father sees Jesus instead of the real us that was behind there. And while we put on Jesus, Jesus is going, oh, and I'm going to change you and fix you. You're going to go from this, you know, from being in a cocoon, you're going to come out as a butterfly. You laid down your life as a squirmy little worm that was abominable, and then you let God change you through your life, and out comes the resurrected Kevin that's a butterfly that's going to live forever. You know, I often wonder, many people have said this. Did you know the metamorphosis destroys evolution? Just the metamorphosis of a caterpillar into a butterfly destroys. That could never happen through evolutionary time and chance. And God was also giving us the analogy of what happens to us. He doesn't just forgive a caterpillar while he continues to slime around and eat stuff. He changes us through time into his glory, from glory to glory. And everybody who's truly trusting Jesus, you know that's happened. You know how your heart's been changed. You know how you are now wanting to be changed into the image of God. So, we're into heaven. Next week we'll finish heaven. I mean, studying about it the best we can. I always wonder how come these people write thick books about heaven when there's not much about it in the Bible. There's more information about hell than there is about heaven in the Bible and the teachings of Jesus. You know why? Because I think Jesus wanted us to be convinced we don't want to go there. And it's so easy to avoid it, and yet so hard. So easy because it just takes confessing the Lord Jesus with our mouth and knowing that we need him. I mean, sincerely, I'm in trouble. You know, it's so funny. People that, you know, they can live, you know, you can speed on the road and everything else and not think they're in trouble until the lights come on. And then your heart goes, how am I going to lie to this guy and get out of it and whatever else goes on in our mind? And see, people don't realize the end game is coming. The lights are going to go on. It's the great white throne judgment. It's the judgment of God that when we die, and it's time to get right now and just say to the judge, God, I know it. I know I've sinned. I know I've sped. I know I've been violating your law. And I just want to appeal for your forgiveness. And God, from now on, I want you to be the co-pilot with me. And I want you to be here with the Holy Spirit saying, Kevin, don't drive like that. Because you're going to hurt people. I'm changing you. I want you to have remedial driver's training for the rest of your life. Until we get conformed into his image. And how cool is that? How cool it is to serve a God who does that. I hope everybody here has given your life to him, and your name's in the book of life, and you're going to not see the lake of fire, because that is where it's all in and out. Life, death. Father, we thank you for your word. And God, we pray that by the power of your Spirit, you'd help us to walk with you in a deeper way with this reality. Help us to have compassion on those who've been deceived by the enemy of their soul. To continue to be rebellious, Lord. Help us to love them enough to navigate through the way their minds are thinking to get to their hearts, Lord, with the need to get right with you before judgment day. And that the offer of your grace and forgiveness is extended to them no matter what they've done, if they just humble themselves and come to saving faith in you. Help us, God, to be your witness people. Lord, we sense that the time of the church age is almost over and you're soon to call us home. Help me, Lord, not to be just slack because of that anticipation, but to continue to be serving you until the day you come. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God in this song. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Because He's in the highest, and He came down through Jesus to save us, to let us go to the highest with Him. Glory be to God. God bless you. Keep you in His care until we can fellowship again.